WKJAN Sports.
Time for a look at sports. Good morning. I'm Jim Field. Our sports update this hour brought to you by White Pole Road Cellular. See them for all of your Verizon wireless and locksmith needs.
Cell phones are a part of almost everyone's daily lives. You see people talking on them, texting on them, checking their email on them. Cell phones do almost everything, and we expect them to always work. Hi, this is Janet at White Pole Road Cellular in Anita, your locally owned Verizon wireless retailer. We have the latest cell phones and accessories, from holders to Bluetooth devices and everything in between. Dean and I can help you with all your wireless questions and help you decide which phone and plan works best for you. And while you're in here, visit with us about Wayne Johnson, who has over 11 years' experience in locksmith service. Wayne can help you whether it be for home or business and will handle all of your locksmith's needs. At White Pole Road Cellular, we know our customers and offer knowledge and experience so you get the best phone for your needs. Give us a call at 712-762-3022 or stop in and see us on Main Street in Anita.
Well, the state cross-country field is set after last night's qualifying meets around the state. In Class 3A girls, a meet held at Nishna Hills here in Atlantic. It was Harlan, Dallas Center Grimes, and Shenandoah Essex, the top three teams. They all qualified for the state meet. Atlantic placed fifth among the 13 teams. Individually, the top 10 also move on to state. Madison Waymire of Dallas Center Grimes, top ranked in the state, was the winner of that race last night. Allie Krogman, who's fourth ranked in 3A in the state, she finished second for Atlantic last night. Jess Feldman of Harlan was third. Maria Mostick of Creston fourth. Bailey Cool and Marissa Clint of Harlan were fifth and sixth. Also, Shenandoah Essex had Mariah Johnson, Megan Hart, and Alexis Sainer, 8, 9, and 10. They all move on to the state meet as well. Class 2A also held here at Nishna Hills. North Polk wins with Missouri Valley second and Otobolt Arthur BCIG third. Those three teams move on to state. Individually, Bailey Hare of Otobolt Arthur BCIG was the individual champion. Also, Missouri Valley's Breezy Weaver placing fourth. Paige Pauley of Mo Valley placing sixth as well in last night's meet. The top 10 all move on. Also in the 1A meet locally up at Panora last night, on the girls' side, it was Griswold winning with 55 points. Corning and Tri-Center were 2 and 3, and they all move on to the state meet. Audubon placed 4th. Guthrie Center, Trainer, Woodbine, Panorama, Underwood, Logan Magnolia round out the rest of the top 10. Individually, Rebecca Topham of Griswold wins again. 15:07 was her time, setting a course record as she wins the meet. Ashton Alfers of Tri-Center, the runner-up. Tiffany Shepherd of Corning, 3rd. Megan Deist of Audubon was 4th. Jordan Sint of Griswold placing 5th. Also, Shelby Hall of Woodbine, Leah Courtney of Guthrie Center, Michelle Mum of Tri-Center, Alex Flippin of Griswold, and Teresa Frells of Guthrie Center round out the top 10. They all move on to the state meet as well. On the boys' side last night, the 3A meet here in Atlantic saw Boone, Glenwood, and Ballard run the top three teams, and they'll all advance to state. Atlantic placing 10th overall in the boys' 3A meet. Chandler Austin of Boone led the way, as he was the first place finisher last night. Individually, the top 10 all move on. Glenwood's Mark Abrams was second, James Fuller sixth, and Jeff Reeves, 7th. They all move on to the state meet. Sean Skillern of Shenandoah Essex also placed 8th, and he moves on to the state meet as well. In the 2A meet here in Atlantic, on the boys' side, it was North Polk walloping the field. They scored just 19 points last night to win that meet. Otobolt Arthur BCIG was 2nd. South Central Calhoun was 3rd. Those three teams move on. North Polk dominated the individual results as well, as Thad Subra won the championship. Also, Peter Smith was 2nd. Seth Harges was 4th. Reed Smith, 5th, and Riley Sandberg was 7th. They had 5 of the top 7 place winners last night for North Polk, helping their team win the title. Also, Red Oaks' Alex Jorgensen moves on to state with a 9th place finish last night. In the 1A meet at Panora last night, it was St. Albert, Riverside, and Guthrie Center, the top 3 teams, and they all advance on to the state meet. Tri-Center was 4th and Panorama 5th, with Nottoway Valley, Logan Magnolia, Woodbine, Orient Maxburg, and Trainer, the top 10 teams last night. Individually, the top 10 move on. Josh Sindelar of St. Albert won the title. Cade Cleveland of Riverside was 2nd. 3rd went to John Gunderson of Riverside. Emmett Wheatley of Adair Casey placing 4th. T.J. Bauer of Nottoway Valley was 5th. Austin Carter of Coon Rapids Bayard 6th. St. Albert's Scott Thulin was 7th. Riverside's Ian Patrick was 8th. Spencer Rokols of Adair Casey was 9th. And Jordan Christensen of Guthrie Center 10th. They all move on to the state meet as well. The state cross-country championships will be held in Fort Dodge 1 week from tomorrow, October 29th will be the date of the state cross-country championships. High school football hits week 9 tonight, and we've got a pretty good matchup for you this evening here on the radio as Chris and I will be in Oneida tonight for an 8-man football game as District 6 winds down tonight. Cam will host Murray. Those two teams both 5-1 in district play, tied currently for second place. The winner will get second place and a home game in the first round of the playoffs, while the loser will place third and hit the road next week for their playoff matchup in the first round. Game time 7 o'clock. That's kickoff tonight, 7 o'clock. We're on the air at 6:45 with the pregame, and we'll have it for you live this evening on KJAN and also on the web at KJAN.com. That's Cam hosting Murray live tonight here on the radio. Also in District 6, Adair Casey, the district champ, will be at Lamoni tonight. In some other games around the region tonight that are important, an 8-man District 8, East Mills hosting Fremont Mills. That's one of the key matchups here in the Southwest Iowa region, as that'll be a district championship game. Both those teams are undefeated heading into tonight's matchup. Also in football tonight, in Class A District 8 action, Bedford is at AHST. Those two teams will play for second and third in the district. District champ Exira EHK will host Corning tonight. Also in District 7, Guthrie Center visits Van Meter. In Class 1A football tonight in District 8, it'll be St. Albert at Logan Magnolia. Those two teams undefeated. They're battling for a district title tonight. Also, Griswold is at Clarinda Academy. Audubon goes to Trainer, and Underwood is at Tri-Center. In District 7 tonight, Panorama hosts West Central Decatur. West Central Valley will be at Des Moines Christian, while Nottoway Valley will host Wayne. Also in District 1 in Class 1A, IKM Manning is on the road at Prairie Valley. In District 2, in District 8 in Class 2A, it's the Page County Super Bowl tonight as Shenandoah plays host to Clarinda. Clarinda's already into the playoffs. Also in Class 2A District 2 tonight, Kemper Catholic will finish their regular season on the road at Maple Valley, while Missouri Valley will host Cherokee Washington. And in District 1 tonight in Class 3A, Atlantic will close out the regular season at home against Red Oak, as they'll have one eye on the Tigers and one eye over in Council Bluffs, as Lewis Central will host Winterset tonight. An Atlantic win and a Lewis Central loss would put the Trojans in the playoffs. At Lewis Central, again, hosting Winterset. We'll have live updates from that game during our broadcast tonight. Also, Harlan will host Creston tonight, with the winner getting the district title this evening, and Carroll is at home against Glenwood this evening. In college football last night, Nick Foles threw for 291 yards and connected with Jerron Kreiner for three touchdown passes in the first half, helping Arizona overwhelm UCLA 48-12 in its first game under interim coach Tim Kish. With 9 days off since coach Mike Stoops was fired on October 10th, the Wildcats looked unstoppable, getting surprising lifts from their running game and defense to end a 5-game losing streak. The Bruins, on the other hand, couldn't withstand the emotion of a team playing under a new coach, and they may have put theirs in jeopardy with a lackluster effort. On the hot seat before the season started, Rick Neuheisel may have taken a big blow with a loss that puts a serious dent in UCLA's bowl chances. In other college football news, the Big Ten has suspended Michigan State's William Golston for Saturday's game against number 4 Wisconsin. The sophomore defensive end is being penalized for violating the conference's sportsmanlike conduct agreement during last Saturday's victory by throwing a punch at a Michigan player. Video replays also show Golston appeared to twist the helmet of Michigan quarterback Denard Robinson during a pileup. Golston says he's regretful. Spartans coach Mark D'Antonio called it a momentary loss of composure. The 5-1 Spartans will host the 6-0 Badgers on Saturday night. Boise State has gotten permission from the State Board of Education to fatten the 5-year contract of football coach Chris Peterson, doubling his current salary and increasing his total compensation this year to $1.5 million, rising to $1.9 million in 2015. The NCAA's Division I Football Licensing Task Force is making numerous recommendations involving oversight and certification of bowl games. They include stronger academic standards that may make it tough for some schools to even become bowl eligible. And the top Democrat on the House Judiciary Committee wants hearings on antitrust and other issues surrounding college sports, including the recent series of conference realignments. Michigan Representative John Conyers tells the committee chairman, Texas Republican Lamar Smith, that recent developments in college sports have reached a tipping point that justifies congressional review. Several major colleges have switched conferences, raising new questions about the role of money in college sports. Conyers also wants to look into other issues, including due process for athletes, the NCAA's use of athletes' images in video games without compensation, limitations of athletic scholarships, and the cost to players for injuries sustained during games. A lot more sports after this timeout.
Cell phones are a part of almost everyone's daily lives. You see people talking on them, texting on them, checking their email on them. Cell phones do almost everything, and we expect them to always work. Hi, this is Janet at White Pole Road Cellular in Anita, your locally owned Verizon Wireless retailer. We have the latest cell phones and accessories, from holders to Bluetooth devices and everything in between. Dean and I can help you with all your wireless questions and help you decide which phone and plan works best for you. And while you're in here, visit with us about Wayne Johnson, who has over 11 years' experience in locksmith service. Wayne can help you whether it be for home or business, and will handle all of your locksmith's needs. At White Pole Road Cellular, we know our customers and offer knowledge and experience so you get the best phone for your needs. Give us a call at 712-762-3022 or stop in and see us on Main Street in Anita.
Well, this time the Texas Rangers got the better of the St. Louis Cardinals' vaunted bullpen. Josh Hamilton and Michael Young hit back-to-back sacrifice flies as the Rangers rallied with two runs in the ninth inning of their tense 2-1 win over the Cardinals last night. That evens the World Series at one game apiece. Pinch hitter Alan Craig, whose run-scoring hit won the World Series opener for St. Louis, had given the Cardinals a 1-0 lead with another run-scoring pinch hit in the seventh inning. But the Rangers weren't done. Ian Kinsler singled and stole second over in the ninth. Elvis Andrews, whose defensive gem saved a run earlier, followed with a single and took second on the throw home. Both Kinsler and Andrews scored on sacrifice flies. Cardinals manager Tony La Russa was philosophical about the loss, saying, "We did the best we could. They did it better. So the series is 1-1. Both starters, Jaime Garcia and the Rangers' Colby Lewis, matched zeros for the first six frames before Alan Craig's pinch single broke the ice. Cards closer Jason Mott was called on to protect the Cards' 1-0 lead, and he's been hot with five postseason saves, but he was tagged with the loss in this one. Rangers manager Ron Washington says the rest of the series promises to be tense as well, warning those of you that have bad hearts, watch yourself. Friday is a travel day, so the World Series will resume in Texas Saturday night for game number three. The scheduled pitchers for game three are Kyle Loesch for the Cards and Derek Holland for Texas. Boston's David Ortiz has won this year's Roberto Clemente Award, given annually to a major league player who gives back through community service and also excels on the field. Ortiz is the second straight Red Sox player to win the honor, following pitcher Tim Wakefield last year. Three people with knowledge of the situation say the San Diego Padres are ready to promote Josh Burns to general manager if Jed Hoyer leaves for the Chicago Cubs. Last week, ESPNChicago.com reported that Red Sox GM Theo Epstein would be the Cubs' president of baseball operations and that Hoyer would come on board to be their general manager. Well, Lamar is looking into whether new basketball coach Pat Knight violated an NCAA rule by allowing two recruits to speak with his father, former Indiana coach Bob Knight. The Indianapolis Star reported this week that Indiana high school players Donnell Minton and Jason Smith, who both verbally committed to Lamar, talked with Bob Knight by phone during a recent campus visit. Pat Knight was hired by Lamar in April after he was fired by Texas Tech. The Star reported that Pat Knight called his father, then handed the phone to the recruits. Lamar Interim Athletics Director and Compliance Officer Jason Henderson says the school has been investigating since the newspaper contacted the athletics department. Well, the early portion of the NBA season is in jeopardy in the wake of the latest breakdown in negotiations. NBA labor talks turned nasty and broke off Thursday when 3 days of meetings failed to yield a deal and end a 112-day lockout, raising the likelihood that even more games will be canceled in an already fractured season. After 30 hours of negotiations before a federal mediator, the sides remain divided over two main issues, the division of revenues and the structure of the salary cap system. NBA Labor Relations Chair Peter Holt, who is also president of the San Antonio Spurs, called it a tough day, a very tough day. Union President Derek Fisher of the LA Lakers said of the owners, "There was never really a willingness to negotiate beyond certain points. There was just a line drawn. The first 2 weeks of the season, exactly 100 games, already have been canceled. The season was supposed to begin November 1st, but all games through November 14th have been scrapped, costing players about $170 million in salaries." In the National Hockey League last night, Pittsburgh beat Montreal 3-1, Boston downing Toronto 6-2, Washington 5-2 over Philadelphia, Buffalo beat Florida 3-0, Tampa Bay over the New York Islanders 4-1, Ottawa beat Winnipeg 4-1, Chicago downed Colorado 3-1, Minnesota in a shootout, a 2-1 winner over Edmonton, the New York Rangers an overtime 3-2 winner over Calgary, it was Los Angeles 2-0 over Phoenix, and Vancouver beating Nashville by a final of 5-1. Funeral services for two-time Indianapolis 500 winner Dan Weldon will be Saturday in St. Petersburg, Florida. In a statement released by IndyCar, Weldon's widow, Susie, thanks fans for the outpouring of sympathy and condolences and invites the public to attend the service. IndyCar also will hold a public memorial service Sunday afternoon at Conseco Fieldhouse in Indianapolis. And NASCAR is providing all its teams a decal that honors Dan Weldon to place on their cars this weekend at Talladega Super Speedway. They'll also hold a moment of silence for Weldon before the start of Sunday's race. The two-time Indianapolis 500 winner, who many NASCAR drivers knew, was killed Sunday in the IndyCar season finale at Las Vegas. That's Check of Sports this hour, brought to you by White Pole Road Cellular. Call them at 712-762-3022. They're located on Main Street in Anita. I'm Jim Field, KJAN Sports.